Hey guys, it's Jessica, founder of Noonday Collection. Welcome to the You Matter podcast. On this podcast, I want you to get ready to be inspired to be more courageous and to own your worth. Get ready to feel connected to the artisan community and to the community where you have a place of belonging, the ambassador community. Because the truth is, you matter, and I'm so glad you're here. Welcome to the conversation. Everybody, welcome to episode 37. This is Jessica Honegger, your host. And today I am sitting down with one of my really good friends, Sarah Sherwood. She also was my life coach for a little bit a couple of years ago. So it's kind of like sitting in on one of my coaching sessions. Today we're going to talk about one of the things that slows us down as we work to change the world. And that's called shame. And I know sometimes you guys are like, shame, what are you talking about? Well, y'all, that is what I thought too. When I was first introduced to this vocabulary of shame a few years ago, I thought it meant I needed some really, really horrific story in my life. But then I began to learn that shame is simply that sense that I'm not enough, or it's that sense that I'm too much, that I take up too much space. Shame is something that we all struggle with. But on today's episode, Sarah and I are going to share about how we can recognize those shame stories that we're telling ourselves and develop shame resilience. This resilience empowers us to continue to take risks, push hard, and go scared. I hope you enjoy this conversation and get out of it as much of it as I did. All right, guys, I'm sitting here with one of my really good friends, Sarah Sherwood, and this is how things come to be. I was working out the other morning, and I look beside me, and there's Sarah sitting right next
just
to me.
Waddled right up.
Yep, right there on the elliptical trainer. And Sarah has been a longtime friend, and in the last few years, she became a certified life coach. And so I actually went to her for coaching a couple years ago.
Yeah.
Was it like 2 years now?
We coached for close to 18 months, I think, 12 to 16 maybe, yeah. And it was probably about
2 or 3 years ago.
2.5 years ago.
So it was when I was real stressed and I just was like, I need someone to help me have balance to my life. Help me.
Yeah.
And so Sarah and I were talking the other morning and she was like, Jessica, I love life coaching. I just want to help people, but I forgot I've ended up in sales because basically as a
totally.
Coach, you own your own business, so you still need to sell your services.
Absolutely.
So I started sharing, oh, that's how my ambassadors feel. They're like, I want to change the world. How did I end up in sales? And so Sarah and I just began to talk and we probably had a really great day that day because we were like on fire that morning.
Yeah.
And I was like, why don't you come on to You Matter and let's talk about this whole idea of what happens when we're doing something outside of our comfort zone. How do we persevere through that? What happens when we're told no? And I call it shame resilience, as I know you call it shame resilience as well. And so what do we do when we're told no, we go down that negative story? How do we interrupt that story so that we can persevere? Mm-hmm. Because ultimately, that's we want to take the long view as ambassadors in our businesses, just business owners in general, mm-hmm. because if we cut ourselves short because we feel rejected or whatever, then we're never going to experience the fruit of all of our hard work, mm-hmm. you know? So anyway, why don't you start off? Tell me a little bit of your journey because I've gotten to witness it from the beginning. And yeah. So how did you even get to be doing this whole life coaching thing?
Well, speaking of resilience and taking the long view, my life really took a turn in college when I got hit with a debilitating disease. And it was undiagnosed for 17 years and I just really suffered. And in that time, I decided that I really wanted to help people. And in my own personal choice, in response to that life circumstance, I decided if this is what's happening now in my life, then there's something good that's wanting to come out of it. And so I share that because I am a life coach, and I have special training in working with the nervous system. And so I'm really a resilience coach, helping people to learn how to rebound mm-hmm. When we fail, when mm-hmm. things don't go the way that we would hope or dream, and to learn how to deal with that stress or fear mm-hmm. response that we get mm-hmm. when we're outside our comfort zone.
Which is basically life, by the way.
Yeah. So
it's like we all fail.
Yeah. I was thinking, like, when you said, like, when people say no, and I'm like, when life says no. You know what I mean? It's like life says no a lot.
Yeah, it does, right?
Yeah. So if we can reframe being in sales and the no's that we're getting to learning how to get curious mm-hmm. and move through it with acceptance, then not only are we going to become more resilient to all the no's that life will bring us, mm-hmm. but we'll also be able to be more intentional and purposeful in how we're going about whatever it is that we're asking for.
Okay. So tell me about this, because there's different personality types.
Absolutely.
And I'm an optimist. And so you tell me no, I don't even hear it. I hear a yes, right. You know, or I dig my heels in and mm-hmm. I'm like, no, no's aren't allowed in my universe. Mm-hmm. So you talked about how the nervous system, we do have just a real legitimate response. And a lot of our community, 20% of us are adoptive moms. So mm-hmm. some of us are familiar with that okay. fight or flight, yeah. the nervous system that happens with our kids who've been through trauma. Mm-hmm. So let's talk a little bit about this, the nervous system, what actually mm-hmm. happens when we are in this place of like failure or being yeah. told no, or we're in shame. What does shame feel like and what's happening in our bodies? And okay. then I want to talk a little bit about personality types. Okay. Like, do some people feel shame more easily than other people?
Okay. So two things I'll say about, because there are two questions in that, which yes. they're really juicy. So first I'll speak to failure, and then I'll speak to shame, because they're not exclusive, but I want to speak from two different sides. So they're actually really close friends. But one thing that's important to understand when we're thinking about neurobiology, when you ask about the nervous system, is that is just to understand dopamine is the feel-good sensation when something happens within our comfort zone. Dopamine's released for a myriad of other reasons as well. But if we understand that I'm going to have a really feel-good sensation when I do not step outside of my comfort zone, and when I experience something that doesn't go the way that I expected or is outside of my familiarity, which equals my comfort zone, then I'm going to feel badly. I'm going to just experience this alarm bell going off in my body. Like, sensationally, I'm going to feel like I'm in danger. I'm going to feel alarmed. I'm going to have cold feet. I'm going to like be super gung-ho about having a trunk show and be like all jazzed about it. And then suddenly I feel like I'm going to mm-hmm. push that off.
I became an ambassador, but maybe this was just a big
right.
mistake.
Yeah. And so just when we can understand like that, to anticipate that, mm. like when I step outside my comfort zone, I am going to get cold feet.
I'm physically going to have response.
Yeah.
To
I'm going
to
feel like I'm not excited about that. I don't really want to do that. Maybe I shouldn't. What if I wait till next week? Maybe I'll ask that person after we've gone for coffee and I feel like a better friend, like mm-hmm. whatever the things are, because then you can reality check it and you can really change the relationship you have with that. And I've grown to where I pause and I ask myself, is this really dangerous? Like, am I really mm-hmm. in danger, or does this just feel unfamiliar? Mm. And unfamiliar takes so much of the charge out of taking a risk mm-hmm. because any risk we take is
unfamiliar
by nature of stepping over yeah. an edge or crossing a threshold. We don't know. Mm-hmm. It's unknown. And I've come to have the perspective that actually the fear of the unknown, I think, is our biggest fear as a humanity, as a yeah, human race. Yeah. We fear it more than being, you know, rejected or abandoned. Mm. And we'd rather just play it safe.
Right.
So when we can pause and ask those questions and reality check the sensation we're having in our bodies, we can begin to change that relationship. And if you then begin to reframe it and hold risk, change, and stepping outside of your comfort zone as a positive thing,
an opportunity,
then you start to get a hit of dopamine every time you step outside your comfort zone.
Okay.
And then you start to feel, this is what's happened to me.
Okay.
I'm like, oh, Lord. Then you start to feel like if you haven't, like, pushed an edge or, like, taken a risk or, like, put yourself out there beyond your zone of comfort, then you start to feel bad.
Yeah.
Alarms start going off.
Right.
So it really, so that's that. I wanted to speak to around failure because it's really about aligning with what your core values are. And if you want to live beyond that super small zone of comfort, mm-hmm. then you can just know that's how that's going to feel.
Right.
And then I can reality check it.
Yeah.
So deciding, asking the question, is it dangerous for me to potentially feel rejected? Well, yeah.
Yeah.
Is it like it, that's not the right question to ask.
Right, right.
But if you can reframe it and you can ask, is it more important for me to go after the dreams in my heart than it is for me to play small, then that's a different question.
Right.
So
we have this whole thing in our ambassador manifesto and it says we believe in second tries and going scared.
Yeah. Okay.
And so it's that whole thing of like, fear, like the going, like the scared part is okay. It's okay to be mm-hmm. scared, but we want to go anyway.
Yeah.
And
totally.
What's crazy though is that you build up thresholds, right? Mm-hmm. To where then you need to do a riskier thing to like get the dopamine or whatever.
Totally.
It's probably like what's driving, you know, me as we continue to grow at Noonday. It's like, well, we got to do the next thing.
Because you're an edge dweller. Yeah. You'll find the next edge.
Yeah. So let's talk about that because I am a little bit more of the natural entrepreneur risk taker. Cool. So a lot of our ambassadors, you know, they might listen to this and be like, this is so fun. Are you kidding me? You know, a lot of our women.
We're
just,
two pioneer forerunners.
Yeah.
Right.
But then some people are like, man, this is so outside of my comfort zone. And so how does personality play into being resilient?
So I think that what I would say, because personality is so much just like who you are and how you express yourself to the world, I would say understand yourself, know yourself, because it's a similar question to how do strengths and weaknesses play into being successful.
Mm.
I think that everyone's equipped with a really deep core set of values, and if they are moving toward impacting the world in the way that they feel is important and their why, like understanding their motivation is rooted in who they are,
mm-hmm.
then you can't lose. I mean, that's really fuel that will keep you for the long view, for the long haul. And I think that then when you know yourself from a place of personality, then that will speak to method.
Right.
So
right.
I think if there can be a collective conversation in the community that the purpose is shared, but the method, there may be tweaks.
That's so true.
But it has to come from the place of why. So then I would challenge people who feel like they may hide behind or it doesn't feel the how doesn't feel right and good to them to dig a little bit deeper to really answer the question why. Like why am I wanting to do this? Why am I wanting to build this? Why am I wanting to serve people in this way?
Mm-hmm.
And then to understand their personality. And from that place, be creative about how to move that forward.
Right. Knowing because you could, because we want everyone to feel authentic and mm-hmm. how they're expressing themselves as ambassadors. And it's so cool just to see how, you know, some women are more into the one-on-one and some women really, really want to coach and grow a team. And some mm-hmm. women really don't. They just like right. want to have lots of parties with lots of people,
yes,
you know?
Exactly.
And so it really does vary.
It does. And I think the introvert extrovert card gets played a lot in sales. But you know, speaking of temperament and mm-hmm. personality, but I think that the reframe is that there's a lot of, like, if I'm an introvert and I'm using that as a excuse to hold me back in sales, the reality is half the people that I'm going to sell to are introverts.
Right.
Right. And so a super extroverted sales methodology is not going to land for them.
Right.
You know,
right.
It's super soft. Uh-huh. It may land just fine, but so be who you are.
Yeah. Yeah. And knowing that the people that you are ultimately partnering with and selling to, half of them are going to be kind of like you anyway.
Right.
Right.
Yeah. And I think if you can understand the people that you're wanting to sell to mm-hmm. and what their temperament and personality mm-hmm. is, and also what their pain point is or what they're needing and wanting in their life, and you provide that for them, mm-hmm. then it's not going to feel like you're asking for them to, you know, give you their credit card.
Right, right, right. Thing. Totally. Okay, so let's go back to shame mm-hmm. because something that, you know, I didn't even relate to the term shame
right.
until I started reading Brené Brown. And, I mean, I always thought shame was this extreme thing that – maybe people who'd been through major sexual assault felt.
Right.
And then as I began to read, I began to identify like, oh no, like I feel shame when I mention that I have a nanny, mm-hmm. you know, or I feel shame or my sense of shame can come out feeling like suddenly I feel like I'm like five times bigger than I am. Like I feel like I'm taking up a lot of space, mm-hmm. you know? And so tell me more about that and how, because we were just talking about failure earlier, mm-hmm. but you were right. saying failure is actually, it's reframing into this like opportunity to expand.
Sure. But when we fail, we experience shame. Yeah.
Right.
Absolutely.
So let's talk about that.
Well, I think to your point, I think the most important thing is acknowledging it and naming it on the front end. So a lot of people, when I coach people, I notice that a lot of people confuse shame with guilt, and they also will call shame guilt. Mm. So the distinction between those two is simply that shame is that overwhelming feeling that I am bad, mm-hmm. and guilt is the recognition and acknowledgement that I did something bad. Mm. And guilt can actually be a really important positive emotion to have because it helps us feel when we've acted in a way that's outside of our core values, mm-hmm. like who we want to be in the world. But shame goes straight to identity.
Mm.
So I think just the conversation of being able to explore and understand like what are those shame messages for us around failure and what is the shame message that we are telling ourselves when we experience a no, mm-hmm. when we try to go for a sale mm-hmm. or whatever it may be,
right.
or even just an ask for a host, you know, someone to host a party or whatever those things may
or
be.
Sometimes
or we look at somebody else's sales.
It's comparing. That's
okay,
exactly.
I
was about to say that because I talked to a few women at Shine and we really tried to drive a lot of this stuff home because I'm trying to create a safe space, right? But another part of our manifesto is that we create spaces of belonging for ourselves and others, compassionate mm-hmm. spaces.
Yeah.
And that's huge for us because we know we're doing risky things. Like mm-hmm. every day we're doing risky things because we know that there's women around the world who are in situations that we don't want them to be in, like mm-hmm. taking their kids to an orphanage
right.
or thinking about, you know, human trafficking. But I still, even as much as I think we drive the message in, I still talk to women after Shine. I talk to someone who cried in her hotel room, even though she stood on the stage and she got an award, it was not as big of an award as she had gotten in the past.
Right.
And it really triggered her. And so, and I just thought, oh my gosh, I was celebrating you in that moment. She went to her hotel room and cried. Mm-hmm. And it was shame. And she was aware of that. We were able to talk through that. But, you know, if I could have been with her in her hotel room, that is the pivot moment. That is the changing of the narrative where she's sitting there crying because something in there triggered shame. Mm-hmm. So tell us about, we've talked about what it feels like in our bodies. And so then what?
So some of the core elements of shame resilience you guys are practicing, which is awesome. So really being able to bring critical awareness to it, contextualizing it, normalizing it, and understanding it. Mm-hmm. So you guys are light years ahead of most corporations and companies on the planet. But I think for each individual ambassador who's listening is to begin to get really curious so that you can understand what your shame triggers are. Mm-hmm. And from the shame trigger, it will immediately, because it's totally ingrained in that neural pathway of response, send you that shame message. And you may have multiple shame messages, but if you can start to listen and get really curious about it and understand what happens when you experience a shame trigger, then you kind of break it apart. It's like the clock that you take all the parts out of and lay it out on the table. And when you can understand how it fits together for you uniquely, then you already, through critical awareness and understanding the triggers, then you are at over halfway there in mm-hmm. being able to choose a different response within it. So, and the fact that you guys are talking about it, that's another point of shame resilience, of being able to speak shame, mm-hmm. to express how you feel, ask for what you need, as well as being able to tell your story. Mm-hmm. So to be able to articulate what you're experiencing and what's happening for you in a shared space. Mm-hmm. But what happens, and the reason why shame is so tricky, is back to resilience, is we have a stress response, a fear response in our nervous system that takes us out of the part of our brain, the higher brain that is able to create options and make choices and to develop ourselves in new and positive ways. And so we get hijacked. So some of our best understanding, even if we truly believe that it, you know, even if that wasn't even your goal, mm-hmm. but here you are then comparing yourself and then it triggers that shame response, then we have all these neurochemicals shoot through our body of epinephrine, norepinephrine, adrenaline, you know, so we're in full on fight flight. And it's important to understand that our survival system in our nervous system is wired to avoid rejection or abandonment more than making sure that we have food in our body and what, like we can go longer without food and without water than we can without positive human connection.
Right.
So we're so wired to make sure that we don't get pushed out of the camp, so to speak.
Right.
That we build up these stories our whole life based on our upbringing, mm-hmm. our patterns of relationship, all these cultural influences, and the list goes on and on mm-hmm. and on, to literally be in a defense orientation response
right.
to not experience
rejection.
Or,
well, yeah, it's like it took me until I was, 35, till I thought, oh, I've been telling myself a story that if I was thinner, I would be accepted. And mm-hmm. it was a total self-protection story. And mm-hmm. how scary it was, though, for me to remove
right.
that story
yeah.
and say, oh my gosh, my acceptance isn't dependent upon something I ultimately think I can control, mm-hmm. my outside body.
Right.
Instead, it's like this inner worthiness
right.
thing.
Right, which ends up feeling so intangible at first mm-hmm, for a lot of people. Mm-hmm. And like, okay, great. Like, I get it. Like, I understand what you're saying. Like, how do I feel worthy?
Mm-hmm.
But it's a practice of choice in those mm-hmm. moments. And when we get taken out by that stress response of shame, mm-hmm. then we lose that ability.
Yeah, choose. Even over this weekend, so for Lent, I committed to like being off my phone from like 5:30 to 8:30. And mm-hmm. then my kids get to ask me to do whatever I want during those times and they or whatever they want, I'll play tag, whatever. And this weekend, I had to be on my phone for a couple of reasons. Plus, the weekend was not part of the rules. Okay. Okay.
Let's be clear.
So I'm like on my phone, and Amelie, you know, my 10-year-old, she's like, "Mommy, get off your phone." I'm like, that is not the rule. And I did, I like had this, mm-hmm. and it was a shame response. And I'm like, whoa, why did I just respond? Like, and she was like, "Oh, I'm sorry, Mommy," you know, mm-hmm. and it was because I felt shame. Like I'm being a bad mom. Mm-hmm. I'm a bad mom. I'm on my phone. She triggered that. Mm-hmm. And suddenly instead of just being like, "Hold on one second, baby." Mm-hmm. It was like I was in shame. Like inside what I was feeling was, I am a terrible mom. I'm on my phone again.
Right.
And she's caught me.
Yeah. Yeah. They call those strategies of disconnection. And it's really simplistic. And it's part of critical awareness. And it's part of understanding your response to shame. But yeah, that's that moving against.
Mm-hmm. Right. That's like so the fight yep. or the flight. Yeah. Mm-hmm. The flight is, I swear this ice cream container was really full earlier right. and now it's empty. How yeah. did that happen?
Yeah. And it's moving away is what it's called. And it's when we like disappear uh-huh. in our own life. You know what I mean?
Right.
We just like lurk up the stairs and shut the door or whatever it may be. Or we kind of hide.
Or crawl into our Instagram account.
Uh-huh. Right.
Because that's not the real world.
Totally. And then there's moving toward, which is people pleasing.
Right. Over functioning.
Yeah. We feel shame. And so we are always
trying to be perfect.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So I think the last little piece of that is were you to really track like what you experienced in your body in that moment when you felt shame, you moved against, mm-hmm. and what you experienced, that helps as well, because then you're able to slow down a little bit more the next
right.
time you're in that
yeah.
space, because we're not going to do it perfect and we're not going to be like, "Oh, cool, I understand now, and I'm never going to move against my daughter ever again," you
right,
know?
Right.
But if we can start to understand, so for me, when I would experience shame, I would immediately feel like I kind of like left the room. I like left the building
mm-hmm.
and I would go kind of blank, and then I would feel kind of numb and weird. And like, I didn't know what to say.
Mm-hmm.
And so I started to track that in mm-hmm. my body
mm-hmm.
and be like, "Oh, I think I'm in shame."
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Because I didn't know what was happening. It would just kind of happen.
Mm-hmm.
And then, you know, my lower brain kind of unplugged my higher brain. So then I'd be like, "Oh, interesting. I'm in shame. What just happened?" And I would be able to kind of mm-hmm. pull apart. And it mm-hmm. sounds like, you know, this long ordeal. It's not. It takes a minute, if not less, mm-hmm. to just pause and be like, "I'm obviously in shame. What got me here?" And then to begin to step into mm-hmm. making a
Well, even just
choice.
Now, retelling you that story, it literally happened 2 days ago, and I could start bawling because now I'm experiencing that piece of like sharing, right, and mm-hmm. vulnerability with you and now with several hundred other women that are listening that mm-hmm. like – I went against but looking back, I was able to see like, it's because I was experiencing this shame and now acknowledging that and not having you reject me or shame me
right.
is the healing, right? It's me
totally.
Being able to tell you or tell the rest of our community and have all of you guys go, "Oh, Jessica, do you know how many times I've been on my phone when I, you know, like
yeah.
that empathetic, compassionate space
yes.
brings healing." Which is why it's so powerful that, you know, as ambassadors, we have this shared mission of creating this flourishing world, and
mm-hmm.
we're doing it through putting ourselves out there.
Right.
And for me, because a lot of women are like, "I don't understand. This is Noonday. This is sales. What are y'all talking about?" You know what I mean? Like, I don't, what what does one thing have to do with the other? But the thing is, you know, some of these statistics they say in sale, they say 2% of sales are made on the first contact, 3% of sales are made on the second, 5% of sales are made on the third contact, 10% on the fourth, and that 80% of sales are made on the fifth contact. 80%. Right. But who gets to the fifth? You know,
right.
Because that takes resilience and perseverance to follow up 5 times with someone, you know, mm-hmm. before you get the deal. And so my thing is like, man, as ambassadors, if we can learn these tools, which it is crazy how much awareness is half the battle. Mm-hmm. Like awareness is half the thing, just knowing, oh, I am, my body's responding to something right now. What's it responding to? Mm-hmm. Oh, in that moment, I'm believing not that I'm having a bad mom moment, but that I am a bad mom. Mm-hmm. Okay, well, let's untie that, undig that, you know, and then get to this place of wholeness and healing so that then you can connect mm-hmm. with your daughter, with the people.
Absolutely.
So this shame resilience thing has everything to do with being successful in sales.
Mm-hmm. Oh, for sure. Yeah, because I think when we know and understand that we internalize whether or not we're being accepted or rejected as an I am statement about my identity, right? It's not that person's not interested in really cool jewelry or this beautiful bag. Mm-hmm. That's not how we internalize that experience. We internalize it. I'll speak for myself. I internalize it as some kind of personal rejection and that I wasn't good enough mm-hmm. either. They didn't like me or I wasn't good enough in the sales process in like delivering.
Or what we hear a lot, Sarah, is they don't care about the poor.
Oh yeah.
They don't care about the world.
Mm-hmm. Uh-huh. Yeah. Uh-huh. So I internalize all that as there's something wrong with me.
Right.
And I think that is the connection because if I get hooked into that story, then every sale is like asking if someone, if I'm worthy.
Yeah.
It's literally, you could.
It's like a star chart.
Yeah. And so,
how many stars am I going to get today?
Yeah. And so if I give that power away to somebody in trying to make a sale and them determining my worthiness, mm-hmm. then I'm probably doing that in every relationship in my life.
So true.
You know? And it's just that's a losing battle and that's a, you know, uphill climb.
It's exhausting.
It's just not going to get you anywhere.
And it's not, people are not going to stick with it if that's their experience.
Right.
You know? And so that's what's really important for me too, for our ambassadors is to take that long view.
Mm-hmm.
So what is sort of shame, resilience, and perseverance? There's a correlation there because.
For sure.
Yeah. So let's talk about perseverance because that's something, you know, I'll say witnessing your life, you have persevered probably out of an unhealthy place. Like mm-hmm. I'm just going to grit and bear it. And now you're persevering out of a healthy place. Mm-hmm. So let's talk about that.
Oh
dynamic.
Yeah, girl. Well, yeah, I think so. I'll lead with saying there are times in our life where hard things happen, and the best we can do is the best that we can do, mm-hmm. right? And sometimes that looks like us bracing and pushing.
Mm-hmm.
So I just want to lead with that from a compassionate place because I think it's easy to talk about these really healthy, beautiful, resourced ways of responding to things. And sometimes life is just really, 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 really hard.
Mm-hmm.
So having said that, you know, I already had that striving, performing, pushing, doing temperament heading into getting really, really sick.
Mm-hmm.
And then my body was literally, I just had so much intense pain constantly that I had to brace in my nervous system and push just to like get out of bed.
Well, it's what helped you ultimately to survive.
Yeah, exactly.
You know, a lot
I was
of that.
Surviving. And so then that carried over into my life because it was so many, 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 many years. And I think that the correlation between shame resilience and perseverance is a lot about being able to acknowledge and celebrate the really beautiful good things that are happening in our life. And really being able to own our brilliance, which is the other side of shame. So Brené talks about that shame is this vice grip, right? So on one side, it's like this intense feeling of not being enough. I'll never be good enough. But then as soon as we start to like feel kind of good about this one little thing, and we are like going to celebrate our win, and we made a sale, or we had a really great trunk show, then shame comes in, is like, who are you? Look at you, this thing, all big for your britches, you know? So I just wanted to name that because I think
that gave me the chills.
Yeah. Right?
Yeah.
It's so
true.
And then we're stuck.
And then we're stuck. We're
literally stuck in this vice grip of like, I'm never enough. Oh, I'm always too much. Not enough. Oh, too much. So I think perseverance comes in being able to at the same time have a bigger picture of what's important to you in life. And when, as it relates to this business, really come back to why. Like, why did I say yes? Why does this feel good to me?
Right.
And you have to be able to come back to that from a mindset place and remember your beliefs around that. But then I believe perseverance is walked out one step at a time.
Right.
And so really learning how to pull out of looking around and looking at everybody else and trying to judge and measure your progress from a long view, because it's almost undetectable most of the time, right? Like, most people aren't an overnight success. And if you ask anyone who's an overnight success, they'll be like, well, yeah, that's just because
found out.
Yeah, but I've been working in this business for 20 years or whatever it may be. Yes. And so I think being able to, a lot of the reason why we can't be present to the thing that we're working on now is because we're looking around and it's not enough for whatever reason, or we're not good at it, or we're afraid that if we do well at it, then we're going to have to do something even bigger, and that's going to be even more scary. And then the other side of it is, as soon as it's done, it's gone, and we never pause to like acknowledge the completion of that,
right?
And we definitely don't celebrate it. So we are stuck in our culture, I think, around inspiration and action, inspiration and action, inspiration and action, inspiration, action. And so you can't persevere in that. That equals burnout. So the way that I see being able to complete something and then celebrate it so that you can then be inspired into action again, and then you complete that action and you celebrate it, and how that relates to shame resilience, is we are so measuring everything around, is it good enough? But if we can take on the mindset of celebrating even our smallest steps forward, the smallest shifts, and for sure in this business, celebrating your mindset shifts when you're able to take on a more positive, proactive, productive belief.
Right.
Those are some of the biggest wins to celebrate. And we just don't. We're not good at it.
I remember the first time I don't do yoga anymore because I do like the hard, fast dopamine pulsing in my system. So, but the first time I did, it was like 10 years ago. And I remember at the end, they were like, just thank your body for what it did today. Just give yourself a squeeze. And I started crying because I was like, oh no, like my workouts are like push hard, didn't run as far as I thought I was going to, wasn't quite as strong as I wanted to be.
Yep.
And that really was a moment of like, celebrate your body. And I feel like just all of us right now that are listening to this, just let's take a moment even now just to celebrate. And I feel like that can become habit in our businesses. Like get into that trunk show. Okay, maybe it was. See, I'm the type, even if I had like a $3,000 trunk show, I'm walking away going, well, it could have been $4,000.
Oh, sure.
Yeah. You know, but some people aren't. I'm a 7 on the Enneagram, so more is better. So anyway, I think being able to like practice gratitude as we're leaving a trunk. Thank you. I'm so thankful I got to go into that woman's home tonight. Right. Like how special that I just got to meet so-and-so and so-and-so. I would have never met her before. Or, you know, let's say we ask an ambassador to join our team and, you know, she says no on the fifth time and you're like 80% chance she's supposed to be saying yes by now. Come on, Jessica told us. But there's even gratitude there. Like, thank you so much for the that I got to take a risk. And yeah, gratitude really can unlock so many things. So I love that gratitude can actually fuel perseverance.
It absolutely does. And it's interesting because, you know, Brené talks about empathy and self-compassion being the antidote to shame. And Kristen Neff's work in self-compassion speaks to the three pieces of self-compassion, and it's everything we're talking to today. Mm-hmm. Because the first bit is mindfulness. And from where I sit, that is that awareness and being able to notice not just my thoughts, but the sensations, the emotions, the behaviors connected to the experience of shame, like what the story is that I make up about it, all that kind of stuff. And then the next piece is common humanity. Okay. And this is what I think you guys can lean into even more as a community that's on a similar journey, but with everyone having their own story. And it's being able to reality check in that moment that asking for the trunk show for the fourth time or fifth time and someone saying no is not my unique suffering. Mm. Like there are other people putting themselves out there because they care about the poor, because they want to change the world, because they want to provide jobs for these artisans. You know, the list goes on. Like, so I'm doing this in solidarity, and the feeling I'm having that makes me feel utterly and totally alone, that I'm the only person that can't get this going or whatever, just to reality check that in a place of common humanity, like, no, that's not true.
That's not true, yeah.
My struggle is other people's struggle as well.
Yeah.
And then the third piece is self-kindness. And it's really asking that hard question, would I talk to someone I love the way that I talk to myself? Mm-hmm. And people are like, oh, no.
Yeah.
But then going, then how would I?
Right.
You know?
Right.
How would I? So it's that same thing. So Jessica walks out of the trunk show where she banked $3,000 and she's like, but I feel like I really think I could have brought $4,000 home from this one, you know? And it's me being able to ask myself,
would I say that to someone else?
What would I say? Well, and or, because it's okay to feel that way.
Yeah.
But then to pause and say, what kindness would I say to someone I loved who is feeling this the way that I am right now?
Right.
And because a lot of times, especially around shame resilience, a lot of people will respond by being like, well, don't, like to themselves, well, stop feeling that way.
Yeah.
Don't feel that way.
Yeah.
You shouldn't feel that way. You're just shaming yourself for feeling shame.
Right.
It's like that's not a productive path.
Yeah.
So I think the more compassion we can have for ourselves in our process, where we can understand what our motivation is, the why.
Yeah.
Behind the purpose.
Which we've got big whys at New Day, let me tell you. Yeah. So we go back to that a lot.
So what I love about thinking about being successful in sales is it's the getting your mindset clear and making sure when you're having thoughts that are going to hold you back to pause and get curious about those and see if you can celebrate some wins and shift them into something more aligned with your purpose, and to take action daily.
Right.
And so I think that if you can take action from a place that's unique to who you are, aligned with your strengths, your what's important to you, and just do something small every day, over time you'll build something really,
really special.
Really special.
Okay, so on that note, I know, I mean, I've been on this journey for a few years now of recognizing, and man, the change is slow, but I now that I have a few years behind me, I can say, man, I'm recognizing and I'm changing the story. Mm-hmm. So I know you have some online classes. Why don't you tell these women how they can find out more about you? What's your website? And if any of you guys are interested on taking those classes, if any of this resonates, then you guys should totally go check that out. So how do they find out about it?
Thanks, Jess. So my website is just my name, Sarah with an H, -Sherwood.com. And the most accessible offer that I have at the moment is a 12-month online coaching program. It is some really in-depth training on some of the stuff that we've talked about today. It's all about resiliency and building resilient relationships as well. And then the last bit of it is all about impacting the world. So some really great content. You can link to that from my website or go straight to integratetolive.com. And I think just getting connected, I have a free couple videos and action guide you can get through my website that go a little bit more into some of the neuroscience and nitty gritty behind some of the things that we're talking about today.
Cool. Okay. So I want to end with, I've started this little hashtag on Instagram called Choosing And, and it's about how we can hold paradoxes and tensions. So we can get muddy and like to play in the mud, and we can also love red lipstick.
Totally.
And we can have an organic garden, but also love queso made with Velveeta cheese. So absolutely. Tell me one of your ands.
Oh, that's interesting. I love to get super creative and messy and outside the lines and way outside the box and literally leave planet Earth and go to outer space as far as just like, you know, thinking of envisioning and being super abstract and being so in the metaphor that half the people I'm talking to have literally no idea what I'm talking about. And I love to create order and develop processes that are very thorough and thoughtful and super grounded and incredibly detailed, and that you could teach a 4-year-old. Kind of thing. So I think that's probably my biggest both. And I'm very left brain, right brain integrated. And it's
taken a while to learn how to hold those.
Yeah. Yeah. But I also think it's part of my temperament.
I'm a
1 with a 9 wing.
We're both into the Enneagram. That'll be another podcast, guys. Yes. Don't worry. I'm going to get you into it.
Yeah.
Well, thank you so much. This was so helpful.
It was so fun.
And after this, we're about to have a couple of ambassadors come and share their stories of shame and how they interrupted that story and how they were able to be resilient. So this was really helpful. Thanks, Sarah.
Thank you, Jess.
There's so much that we can take away here as saleswomen. And guys, I know that sometimes that's a hard word for us to use, but that's what we are. We are social entrepreneurs in the business of sales, and we can be proud of that. As I mentioned at the end of my interview with Sarah, in the next episode of You Matter, we are going to be sharing stories from our community, the ambassador community, from women who are learning to recognize their shame stories and who are developing shame resilience as they take the risk and share those stories with you guys. This community is special. As our manifesto says, that we are all about creating compassionate spaces of belonging for ourselves and others. And we do that when we embrace our own vulnerability. And so I'm just thankful to always get to find women willing to risk and be vulnerable in our community.
As you go through your week and you think about taking risks for yourself and your business, remember that all-important advice from Sarah. Keep your why at the front of your mind. When we're driven by the desire to make a difference in the world, to help women feel beautiful, and to follow whatever the bigger dreams of our hearts are, we can find within ourselves the boldness to tell shame, to just sit back down. Remember to head to the Ambassador Facebook page to share your story with us. There is nothing more, very little more than I love to do than to sit and read your stories. Use the hashtag YouMatter to tell us what you took away from today's episode. What were your favorite parts? And I'd love to hear what you'd like to hear on future You Matter episodes. Thanks a lot for tuning in, guys, and I'll see you on Facebook.